Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to the Concierge Coaches Show with Bruce Cameron and Justin Nimmergood, only on LA Talk Radio.
Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to another exciting episode of the Concierge Coaches Show here on LA Talk Radio. I'm Bruce Cameron, and Justin is not with us this week, but I feel sure he'll be with us next week and beyond. So it's just we have a special guest, myself and our special guest today. So hope everybody's having a good week out there. And you know, in recent weeks, we've talked about business coaching and helping entrepreneurs get their business to the next level, not only with their mindset and with their psychology. Which is all fine and dandy, but if you don't have infrastructure and some mechanisms, all the mindset stuff in the world won't get you the income that you need. So, and I know in a month or so ago, I was in pretty dire straits where I had one of my revenue businesses was fallen victim to a virus where everything turned into Japanese or something, and it turned into quite the issue of having to get the sites recovered back where they need to be. Made some changes there, and also actually invested in a company, another small business like myself, a competent journeywoman to get me out of the ditch and on a right path to not only to where I was, but a path toward growth. And some of that's already happened. So we'll talk about that as we go. So definitely our special guest today is Andra Dunn, and she owns Convertible Communications. And she offers an array of services to small businesses such as mine and possibly yours. And we'll talk about that. But what I like to do is kind of the teach one, show one, do one mentality. And folks, we're just going to lay out federalprisonauthority.com as our test case today, which is interesting because it's not necessarily a coaching business, although it kind of is, but it also is consulting as well. But it's good enough, right, that everybody can embrace what that company does and how it might interface with what you do as a coach or a consultant for what you do. At the end of the day, we need to have structure and infrastructure, and we're going to talk about that today. So, Andra, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Bruce. I'm glad to be here today.
Yes. So I guess tell our listeners a little bit about your background, what got you into the space, and kind of if there's a little elevator story with that or what have you.
Good question. I started out my college career in marketing and public relations. When I graduated, back in the day, I was mostly focused on graphic design, laying out newsletters, publications. Everything back at that time was still mostly print oriented. There was the starting of websites and some email marketing pieces. And I saw quickly that the transition was going to happen to a more digital communication realm rather than the print medium. So being a little bit of a geek, I just started learning how to build websites, learning code on my own, and then looking for positions that continued to allow me to grow and develop in that space. So mostly self-taught, web designer, social media marketing, email marketing, all of that online marketing space. What I tell people is that while the medium changes, the delivery changes, the strategy is all the same. So what we learned, what I learned back in college that was maybe more applied to a print and advertising delivery mechanism, the strategy is not any different, just the way that it's delivered.
Certainly the delivery mechanisms are different. Exactly. Yeah. And I remember, and many of us that are old kind of remember the newspaper and print advertising, and radio was king, and buying airspace and ad space and billboard space and stuff like that. And my dad owned an advertising agency, so I remember all those types of things, you know. But right, the landscape has certainly changed for delivery methods. So, and again, you know, I'll put myself on the site. So you know, I got my coaching certificate, if you will, the CPC credential in 2016. Started this show quickly thereafter, you know, and then got a lot of work. You know, got a lot of work. Literally in the coaching space, doing coaching with executives and stuff like that. And then I think what happened for me is even to this day, it's like, I just do the work. You know what I mean? I'm good at what I do. And we've had other guests here that have really done what I think you're going to be doing for Federal Prison Authority. Have just really done it right with it. They have the website, and they have an ebook, and they have the MailChimp, and they got their podcast, and they got a weekly call. And so they're really just touching their customers, you know, a lot in it. Anyway, it's a little bit outside of my personality. Don't want that kind of a high touch operation but then again, there's things in between. So anyway, all that aside, so here you go. You get a phone call from some middle-aged guy who says, "Man, my site's in disrepair," and kind of walk us through once you found the damaged. I know you did some Google work to really show the level. So to kind of walk us through the how you walked up to the crash site and what some of your initial steps were to get that site.
So I'll kind of identify. We'll just kind of lay out some. Let me hold this.
Yeah.
I'll start with just kind of laying out some things that you can do to prevent getting to this point, because that's really what you want to do, is be in a preventative state, understanding why we got here. So that helps you prevent it. And then how you move forward if you've, you know, come under attack and your website's offline. So the first thing is, the Federal Prison Authority website was built in WordPress. It's a very popular platform for websites for small businesses. One of the biggest keys to know when you're managing your own WordPress website is you have to maintain all of your plugins and your themes and all of the software that's involved on the back end. Website plugin companies are always looking for those holes, and they're patching it and releasing updates. And the reason why they release an update is to patch a hole so a hacker can't get into your site. So make sure that you're maintaining your site is key to preventing an attack. The second part of that is make sure that you've got regular backups, not just letting your hosting company run your backup, but you need to be running backups and saving them either locally to your computer, or I like syncing it to Dropbox. So I have a Dropbox account that my backups get synced to. So that way I don't have to worry about it. They're on a computer, they're in the cloud. And so I've got multiple ways of making sure that I have a backup copy of my site. So if it goes down, I can go back and grab a backup and get that site back up within a few minutes. Then the other thing that you need to be doing is running some security program on your website so that it's not easy to hack in. Make sure your passwords are secure. Make sure you've got two-step authentication logins, and make sure that you're scanning. So if somebody's trying to get an attack, you get a notification and you can go in and make sure that you're doing the work that you need to prevent it. So those are kind of some things to kind of prevent having your site hacked. At the point that your site is hacked and the content disappears and it's injected with Japanese, you know, writing, and all of a sudden nobody knows your phone number or what you do, they're redirected, you know, to something else. You've got to take some steps to go, okay, how do I back that up? How do I find the backup? Then once the, so we found a backup, We were able to get the backup restored on the server that it was originally sitting on, but it was still infected. So there was still malware in there. So what we did was we moved the sites to a more secure server, updated technology, and made sure that those sites were up and running. Then we did a clean malware sweep. So you can do that yourself. It can be a little tricky. You can hire a security company. A lot of the hosting companies will have a service that they offer to sweep your site. But we ran a malware scan, got rid of all of the injections that were on it, and got the sites up and live in a secure fashion. So they're all sitting on a new secure server. They're updated regularly. We've got the security pieces in place. We're running the backups, so it won't happen again. So we're squared away there, right? So then the next step is really making sure that going forward, now it's okay, we're back on track, but now it's time to grow. And I think that was kind of like, okay, we got here, but you are ready, you know, because you kind of like let your websites go. They were there, they were running, but the second that they went down, the phone stopped ringing, and you realized what, you know,
yeah.
If I invest more here,
absolutely,
the phone will ring more.
Oh yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So you want to talk about kind of where that put you?
So the phone was, and again, I've talked about this on prior shows, but yeah, the phone, I noticed it was really quiet, you know, and it was funny, that particular virus, the site worked, but it wasn't working in Google or Bing or whatever, it's all in Japanese or whatever. So that lulled me, like, oh well, the sites are up and running, so therefore it must be something else. No, I wasn't being seen in search engines. Holy cow. And then that's when I panicked. I said, okay, this is it. This is way over my pay grade. Yeah, I had been just not, you know, at some point either you're the guy who is the business guy or the talent, and you're not the webmaster, web anything. And that was it. I just threw in the towel on the web. I decided to bring your company on to, you know, get me out of the ditch, which we just covered. And now moving forward, I think we can talk about some growth moves that we're going to be doing moving forward with the site. And again, this isn't really, I think we're going to talk about growth processes. So it's, even though the content of my site might be different than the content of your coaching practice, it's still about it. Yeah, it's a lot. It is the same. And I know you've been learning a little bit more each month about what I do and how that works. But it still is in this kind of coaching consulting-ish realm. It's just the content is a little bit different than the average bear, but the processes are the same. So I'll ask you this. So yeah, you got the sites out of the ditch. Talk about, I know I have a Facebook group, that addresses the First Step Act and federal prison reform. So talk about the next things you did as soon as that site was out of the ditch.
Okay. So we talked about wanting to grow. The first thing I always, the first question that I think I ask you is, how are you going to measure success, right? And for everybody, it's a little bit different. But here it's like, well, if the phone's ringing, then that's success for me. So I knew we got to make sure that the phone number is the call to action for Bruce. Your call to action, how you identify success, maybe a growing email list or, people making a purchase off of your site for, you know, whether it be a coaching package or an ebook or something. So know what your call to action is. How are you going to measure success initially? Some people tell me, well, I just want more traffic on the website. Like, just if I know I'm getting more views and more people are digesting my content, then for me, that's how I'm going to measure success. So you want to know how you're going to measure success. And then the best thing to do is track that. So we really haven't put a place in, we haven't put, like, you're tracking phone calls, so you know if you're getting more phone calls or not.
Right, but that would be good to do.
That would be a good thing to do, since that's how you're going to measure success. But one of the other things that we did is I kind of did a quick, how many followers does he have on Facebook? How many people are in his Facebook group? What's his website traffic? Are we measuring the traffic on the website? we didn't even have Google Analytics on the old site. So the first thing that I do is Google Analytics account set up, make sure I've got Google Webmaster Tools. You can Google that, Google Webmaster Tools. Bing has a similar service, Bing Webmaster Tools. You go register your site with those two companies. It pings those search engines to start crawling and indexing your site. The analytics lets you know how many people are trafficking your site. So you can kind of see where are they at, what pages are they on, what are they looking at, how much time are they spending there. And that can give you some clues as where you've got opportunities to build out more content and funnel people. If there's a process that you funnel people to that call to action, so you know kind of where to lay those pieces of content on your website. So the first thing is track where you're at, and then you can kind of figure out how do we want to get there. So now that we've got the webmaster tools in place, you can go, okay, does Google have a problem? Like, is there a problem? Well, Google had picked up that there was a virus on your site, so they weren't sending traffic. So the next thing that we had to do was submit a request to Google to recrawl the site, make sure it was clean, and then put it back online indexed in their search engine. So that was one of the next steps we did. Probably why you saw that. Okay, now there's an uptick because now it's getting crawled by the search engines and registering in that space.
Can you talk a bit why Bing is important too?
Yeah. So, I mean, Bing is important because, you know, we do voice searches nowadays, right? So if you've got an Apple phone, and you ask Siri to do a search, it's using Bing as the search engine to pull up those results. So all your different Alexa, Google, Siri, everybody uses a different search engine index. Google and Bing are the two biggest ones. It's Google and Microsoft, right? So they're at the head of this information gateway. So you want to make sure you're registered and set up in both sites. The other thing that you can do is also set up a Google My Business. Bing has a similar service. I think it's Bing My Business. If you Google it, it'll come up. And basically what Microsoft has done is they've kind of done a little bit of a partnership with Google. They'll just copy everything over. So you can set it up in Google My Business, go to Bing, give it access to your Google account, and it'll import everything over in a couple of clicks. And so you don't have to duplicate that effort. So now you've got your business setting. Once you do that, it puts you on the Maps application. So now if somebody says Federal Prison Authority near me, right? You all see that, like, hey, I'm looking for a business coach near me. Then it's going to start populating that up because it's tracking based on that data. So that's the other thing for small businesses. You want to do Google My Business and then set up the counterparts with Bing. So that's kind of the first thing.
Yeah, I just wanted to underscore that when you said that Apple, you know, for Siri, that they use Bing for Siri, that was huge to me. I mean, that is a lot of people right there. Like,
yeah.
I mean, a lot of people use Siri for those searches. I'm an Apple person, but you know, much love for Samsung too. But man, that was huge. Yeah. That was a way untapped thing for me. And I'm so glad you connected all that up.
Yelp has been another, like, Yelp serves some search indexes, and Yahoo does as well. So those are two secondary level. I mean, Google and Microsoft are the kings. You want to go into a secondary tier having a Yelp account, though I think, you know, that's starting to maybe dissolve a little bit in the future, but still doesn't hurt to have a Yelp account, especially depending on your business. If you're getting reviews and recommendations, having that Yelp account, I never pay for it. Don't pay for it, but having it set up so that it's just one more entry point to your business is beneficial. And same with Yahoo. Yahoo charges a fee. So I'm always about budget. You don't have to pay for it. If you get to that entry, you know, if you get to that service level and you want to add that next layer of SEO, look at Yahoo, look at adding a Yahoo business listing. So that kind of covers the big things. So then the next thing is just now that I'm tracking my content, I'm tracking how many followers I have. Now I can start ramping up and driving traffic, driving people to my website, to my Facebook page, to a Facebook group, and then seeing, because now that you're tracking where they're coming from, how they're getting here, then you know where to start investing for more content.
Right.
So
search terms, high value search terms.
High value search terms. If you've got people that are coming to your website from a podcast, then you know your podcast is working. Keep doing it. If you get to a point where you're like, I've been doing a podcast for 3 years, but nobody's coming to my website through the podcast, maybe that's not, you know,
the vehicle
for your business. And maybe if you cut that out, but people are coming to your Facebook group organically, and that's where you're connecting with people, maybe it's worth investing more time in your Facebook group and maybe doing some Facebook advertising for that and abandoning the podcast. You know, maybe putting your podcast on YouTube because you've got some more people kind of coming through a YouTube video channel than through an audio podcast, you know, in iTunes. You know, you might look at, well, my iTunes podcast isn't doing very well, but my YouTube channel is, and it's kind of the similar content. Well, how can you make your podcast maybe a little bit more visually appealing and throw it up on YouTube? So you can kind of start looking at, how are people getting to me? Now that I'm tracking my website, I've got analytics on there. I know how they're getting to the website, what vehicle they're coming through. Now I know where to invest, you know, maybe more of my time and effort from a marketing perspective.
Okay. And so then I think then we're looking at another WordPress template. We're looking at another website that the website that it was a 2014 style website with the rotating images. I forget what they're called, but you know what I mean? The screen show of different images and stuff like that. what are some of your thoughts about a template for a coach or a consultant that, you know, isn't too extra, but gets the job done, stuff like that. Any thoughts there?
Sure. So our attention spans continue to dwindle. So for a coaching business or a coaching service, I say you've got to be real clear about who you are, what service you deliver, what the benefit is, and what makes you different. What makes you different, right? Why am I going to hire you versus the guy down the street? So you really want to speak to, help your audience identify right away. They're in your niche. You're the right person for them to work with. And the quicker that you can kind of get that information, you know, out there, the better off you are. You don't want to make people search and dig and search. So on your homepage, really quick, like answer those 5 questions: who, what, when, where, why, and ultimately how. Having your call to action very clear at the top of your site is always the first thing I go, okay, Bruce wants people to pick up the phone and call him. So on the homepage, there's going to be at the very top, call now and a click to call and his phone number. So somebody that wants to dial it while they're sitting in front of their desktop computer can punch that phone number in. As you scroll down, there'll be another call to action. Call now, schedule a call, right? So we want to make sure that all of those pieces, those call to actions, are very clear. Who needs to call? So identifying very quickly who's the right audience, right? So for Federal Prison Authority, if it's somebody that they're in a state prison, that's not the person to call, right? Like, you can't call me. But if you're in a federal situation, that's the right person to call. So we want to make sure that that's clearly identified on that homepage. If this is your situation, federal time, then call. If it's not federal, I can't help you, right? So who's the audience? What's your niche? You know, maybe you work with women. Maybe you work with dog owners, right? So make it very clear. If you don't have a dog, I'm probably not your person. So identify who your niche is. Make that clear. All right, so now we've got who. Why? Why do I want to call you? What do? Spell that out. What is your service? This is what I do. This is why you would pick up the phone and call me. This is why you would subscribe to my email list. This is why you would want to visit my blog. This is why you would want to join my Facebook group. So think about what that next step is. Why? What problem are you solving? Make sure that information is clear. And then when? Well, of course now, because if, and like anything, we're going to put it off. So don't be afraid to put out there, call now. I've got an event coming up, register now. Make that call to action time sensitive, right? So what do you think? What's next?
Well, so that's good. The whole call to action thing is pretty interesting, you know, because, and maybe for some coaches too, the reason why I went with the phone call thing is because I don't think, and there's a lot of information about different aspects of the federal prison experience and prison reform and all that. I think that I'm going to have to do a phone call and do an assessment with that caller to see what it is they really need. I mean, we got a crud ton of things we can do for any customer, but right, they're you know, some people are different. I mean, I got people that are sex offenders, or they're the wife of a sex offender. Well, can he ever get to a halfway house? Can he get home confinement at the end or whatever? I got people that are just going into prison that might be physicians or fraud people or white collar people. They have a different set of concerns. So that's why the calling thing is now. And look, I can see coaches in a similar predicament, right? For those of you that are coaches and consultants that have a variety of different types of clients in different stages of life or in their business, well, they might want to call you to see if there's a fit there. So, you know, for me, that was what my thought was the call. So any other, going from that old school design, but any other kind of design tips or anything like that?
Well, I think, you know, one of the things is we can worry about getting over inundated with calls of people that aren't going to work with us. So you may decide to set up kind of a pre-qualification. Right. Here's five questions. If you meet all of these five criteria, let's schedule a call. And then you know, when you get that call scheduled, it is an assessment. It's not I can't really help you, but here's where to go, right? You can kind of maybe identify, let that website do the work for you, pre-qualify those leads. The other thing that we're doing is pushing people to a Facebook group where they can do kind of some self-help and identify, you know, what do I need to be doing? What do I need to be thinking about? And hopefully generating some, you know, business development through that.
Interestingly, it's almost like the Facebook group. I think we need to do some of those people in the Facebook group out to the site to learn more, because the Facebook group gets, gosh, anywhere 20, 30 new people a week now, and that's seemingly going to grow. So a lot of those people I'd notice are coming in there like, okay,
I'm lost.
I'm in, you know, what's no up? Way. And so I think we needed to, but you're an administrator now,
right?
Or co-administrator, whatever, you're an administrator to say, hey, welcome new members. Remember to check out our YouTube here. We'll talk about that in a minute, but or at least our website to get all the different aspects of the information a little bit easier. Some of that information that I think they're wanting is easier found in the website versus kind of embedded in the Facebook threads.
Right.
So,
yeah.
So that'll be something, because it's almost like the cart is better than the horse or something. And this right now,
the neat thing about a dynamic using a Facebook group, if you don't have one, if you're not managing a Facebook group, you're missing a gold mine, right? Developing a Facebook group, allowing you to share your expertise, allowing other people in your community to share back and forth, leading those conversations, making posts where you're leading that conversation through. And then, yes, we're going to get to a point where we will now push those conversations back to the website. And then we'll have programs where we're, you know, brainstorming about programs that we can push these people into based on the information that they're accessing. So the other cool thing about a Facebook group is when it comes to content. They're asking questions. He's responding to those questions in the Facebook group, but now we can go pull those answers out and we have a blog post. And so that's fixing that content drought on the website.
Explain why a blog post is good. Like
why are blog posts good? Blog posts are good because it gives you those keywords. It gives you keyword authority, and it continues to build your SEO and credibility with the search engines. When you do your podcast, you should pull your podcast over along with the transcript and put that on your blog site. That's keyword authority right there. If you're not doing that, that's an easy first step for you to do. Take a transcript of your podcast, throw it up on your blog with a link back to your podcast.
And that's one of the good things about coming on this show as a guest is not you, but obviously, of course you, but others and people in the future is that I do just that, right? I have a show summary. I have a show summary that I type out, and it goes on the LA Talk Radio site into the archives. But then 3 weeks later, or depending how fast I am, it gets into Apple Podcast, and then that's there as well with the backlinks. And so those backlinks on two PR9 rated sites really does gets whoever some exposure. And I need to do that. That's one thing I need to do is call through these shows that pertain to that revenue stream and get them to you. I think I did a couple, but it's usually about one every 2 months that'll be relevant to what that revenue stream is trying to do. So yeah, so that Facebook group is huge, because I honestly believe, folks, and I'm a knuckle dragger here. I'm not a marketer. I'm a worker, but I am convinced that people are using Facebook and Google and of course Google, but also YouTube. We'll get to YouTube in a minute, but for sure they're using Facebook almost like a search engine tool. Like the name of that group was First Step Act Federal Prison Reform. That was just the smartest thing ever. It's not like Bruce's Consulting or whatever. It was the issue at hand that the consumer's looking at for relief for their loved one or whatever going to prison. I know everything about this First Step Act and federal prison reform. What is it? We've heard a lot about it. The inmates are chattering about it. There's rumors at inmate.com and everybody's, at first everybody was just packing their bags. It's like, wait a minute, pump the brakes, folks. Here's what it is and here's what it means. So again, I thought that was the case. I threw it out there. And honestly, that right now, it's a tough call. Like, I think I'm getting as much revenue per month from the Facebook group as I would be naturally out there in my present station of life. Now, right. I'm not all spiffy yet. You haven't made me into this spiffy Bentley of a consortium of things yet. But anyway, I just want to encourage our listeners to really consider that. Also, a LinkedIn profile. That's really interesting. The LinkedIn, for what I do as a content area expert, they want to see your LinkedIn. I had this guy, thank God you're on LinkedIn. So 5 cases closed because, I guess you really are who you say you are because of your LinkedIn profile. I didn't say anything because you could put anything on LinkedIn. I'm not sure that LinkedIn might vouch some people, but not others, but anyway, okay. And I just thought, man, thank God I had my LinkedIn thing, because I had a nice bio, a nice chronology of what I did in the federal system and with the Justice Department. But that gave consumers kind of like a level of legitimacy or whatever. And so having that LinkedIn, having this and that, kind of add to your internet SEO footprint. I think the more footprint you have, the more exposure you have, the better. And so, and also as we go, and I have some of that stuff, but not all of it. I've been in other articles in the New York Post, and there's links to that. And I need to get those on the new website, so that all kind of indexes, and that looks good when your site is on a lot of different sites across the country. It looks good for SEO, right? So we're clicking right along here. Let's go to, unless there's something else, but let's go to the next major food group, which would be the YouTube channel. the YouTube channel. So I'll start it, and, you know, like I do everything, I start it and never finish it. But anyway, so YouTube channel, and I have two, but the First Step one, the First Step Act is the one we're talking about. So I have this YouTube channel that addresses the First Step Act, and it's getting some attention, but it is underperforming. You know, a couple of the trailer does good, and one of the other things does good, but kind of everything else that I would like, it's obscure. So let's talk about how the YouTube channel, which is something that's totally free, like a Facebook group, is absolutely freaking huge, and talk about the value of the YouTube channel and how you might dovetail that into the site.
Okay. All right. So YouTube video has definitely taken off. And one of the biggest reasons is because we have short attention spans to read stuff. So we just want it spoon fed. And so videos have become the next mode of delivery, right? So it started with print publications, which then turned to digital websites that just sat there, which then turned to email marketing, which is more in depth and somewhat interactive, blog posts, that kind of thing. Video is just the next layer on top of that. So it's kind of the movement of where we're going. YouTube's owned by Google. So if you didn't know that, that's why having a YouTube channel can boost your SEO and your web footprint with Google, because they're of the same, right? So I think, you know, when you're looking at your YouTube strategy and your video performance, and then also understanding that the younger generations, as they start coming up into the ranks, that's where, you know, a lot of our kids were watching cartoons on videos on YouTube. Our teenagers were getting their entertainment delivered via YouTube. So they're now turning to YouTube to answer their questions. If you go to Google and you type in a question, the first, you know, you have the first answer is a line of videos from YouTube. There'll be like two or three different videos from YouTube that pop up with the answer first. So you kind of want to just go the question that people are asking to get to your website. If you can answer that question on YouTube, you'll pop up both first in the search engine for the YouTube, for the video answer, and then for the print answer, you know, for the website search engine answer. So I just say, if you're answering a question through your blog, make a video of it, right? Do that same thing during your video. The key thing with YouTube is consistency, as with your blog. Consistency of putting content out is key. That's a critical factor. Having your branding in place, making sure you've got call to actions, and then making sure that, you know, your title, your keywords, how you're tagging your videos, providing a transcript or a show overview is important. And then, you know, with YouTube, taking a copy of that YouTube video and embedding it on your website in a blog post. So it's like, here's a quick recap of the video, go to YouTube to watch it. And then you've just got those cross links, right? So you know, your website's pointing to YouTube and Google likes that. So yeah, video is definitely the next wave. Video doesn't have to be hard. I think sometimes the hardest part is thinking about what the strategy is going to look like and kind of, you know, really just getting on camera, starting that filming process. But line out two or three videos, maybe four or five, shoot multiple at one time. I like to work in the let me cue things up, and then it's just, I can just push the post this one today. The next one's already done. And another week I post it. So you kind of just are kind of tracking ahead. I've got six videos packaged, ready to go, and just post one of them at a time and roll them out. So then you just have to think about, I'm doing video recordings, you know, once every 6 weeks.
Now, is that a good SEO strategy to have them roll out like another one? I mean, does Google like, okay, this person is a viable person, and they're not only cranking out the blog posts, but they're cranking out video content as well. Is that a good thing?
Yeah. I mean, and consistency above everything. So if you're blogging and you're blogging once a week and you miss 1 week, Google's going to notice that. I have one client that they post Monday, Wednesday, Friday at 10 a.m. And at 10:01, Google has pinged their site to pull that blog post. So when they miss a blog post, all of a sudden that slows the Google robot to, you know, to crawling that site on that consistency. They noticed when they missed a couple of 10 a.m.s that it triggered an adjustment in how the frequency of Google crawling their site. So consistency is a big part of it. You train your audience too. So if you're releasing a video every Monday afternoon at 3 p.m., your audience is starting to get trained to come to your YouTube channel Monday afternoon at 3 p.m. That's when they're taking their, you know, afternoon coffee break or, you know, snack break or whatever. So you'll start to train your audience. This is when I'm going to get a new video. This is when it's going to roll out. Save that time, right? If it's important to them. So consistency is big. If you're only doing it once a month, do it at the same time every month. Like, let your audience know. And then it's pinging your audience. It's on YouTube. It's on Facebook. It's on the website. We're sending an email announcement out.
Since we're talking about video, what about the whole thing about Facebook Live, watch parties on Facebook? I'm just asking because I don't know, literally, but is there a way to capture those Facebook Live videos and move them over to the YouTube or move them into the website? Because sometimes I've done two or three Facebook Lives where we'll be on a thread and there's a topic going about, for instance, there's this 924C, which is committing a drug offense as well as having a gun. Okay, that's a Title 18 924C charge, man. And usually these guys that have that charge are doing a little bit of time, but they're kind of wondering, hey, does that not knock me out? Is that a violent crime? And most of the time it's like, yeah, that's a violent crime. But, you know, you can get some, not necessarily time credit, but you can get some kind of benefit from taking those classes. So I was, you know, so I just did this live video telling people, hey, you know, this is the way it is, versus I felt like some of that got lost just typing it out. So what, any thoughts on the Facebook Live?
So scrape your Facebook Live, download it.
You can do that.
Yeah. Okay. And so here's the deal. If at the end of your live, it doesn't give you the option to download, it does. But if it doesn't, then there are browser extensions that will allow you to download those videos to your computer. So save it and then upload it to YouTube.
Okay, perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good to know. So
upload it to YouTube and then go to Instagram and upload it to your Instagram TV channel.
Right.
Right?
Right. And I have an Instagram account too, but we'll get to that too. But I like that as a repository for some of the videos, because you can just, it doesn't really have a lot of descriptions, but everything is kind of there, you know, and it's a title, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
So, again, it's more keyword authority. It's more places where somebody has the opportunity to find you. And if you're tracking how people are, you know, landing at your website, eventually you might start to see that path of how people are filtering through your content.
Right. That's a good thing. So, I mean, personally, I like the ease of some of the ease that Instagram has of having their kind of, as a visual person, like, oh, I can see at least 3, 6, 9, 12, 15 at a time tiles. Yeah. You know what I mean? Not everybody's like that, obviously, but like I found that that's an interesting repository, and it really hasn't gotten off the ground yet. Cause I was in Instagram jail for, remember that? Yeah. We're laying out like 50 videos one day. It was like, I'm out of jail now. They're all calmed down. But I was just in that mode to lay stuff out there, and I had the time, so I did it. But okay, well, so that's really good to know. So folks, like, there you go. I mean, you know, and look, there are coaches out there. There are coaches and consultants out there that don't have their own website. There's this kind of movement now, like, I don't need a website, like this and that and the other. And, you know, and some people, what do you think about that, by the way?
I mean, look, I've consulted with a couple of people, and who I don't know if I need a website. So we sit down and we talk about their business and what they're doing and how they're getting their leads and where they want their business to, you know, where they want it to go. What are their goals for their business? And I've flat out told a couple of people, yeah, that's going to be a waste of your money to do a website, because they don't really want to grow their business. It's kind of a hobbyist thing. They're getting sufficient leads for the work that they want to be doing through Facebook. So
like my Pomeranian friends, oh, here's my dogs. And yeah, we just had a litter, like, fine.
Right. You know, yeah. So if it's just kind of a hobbyist thing and it's not like, you know, really serious about it. But if you're really serious about wanting to grow your business and generate a hub where everybody comes back to where you look, here's the benefit of a website, right? You've heard of MySpace, right? And if all of your business and all of your content and everything that you've done is on Facebook, and Facebook happens to trip up and go the way that MySpace did, because it happened, right? We all saw, everybody had a, well, not everybody,
I did.
Right? I had a MySpace. If all of my business stuff was just on MySpace and I didn't have my own website, then what did I have when MySpace shut everything down?
Yeah.
I got nothing. I'm starting over from scratch. So there's the lesson in that. It's why having a self-hosted WordPress website is better than having a Wix or a Squarespace.
We'll talk about that for a second.
Yeah. So, you know, Wix is easy entry point. Weebly is another one. Easy entry point. Decent looking website. Easy to get up. Fairly affordable. For the non-tech person, they can kind of get in there and figure it out well enough to have a site up that looks good. But there's, look, I've been in the web business long enough that these templated type sites eventually fall away. And so what happens when they fall away? Well, typically their technology is outdated. And so they moved to something else. But WordPress has been around for a long time. It's very, very search engine friendly. Google loves WordPress websites. It's easy to get a WordPress website indexed. It's very challenging to get a Wix or a Weebly website indexed and populating on the search engines. So if you're going to do a website, do a self-hosted one. Do one where you're paying the hosting, whether it's WordPress or a different CMS delivery tool. But that's the recommendation. If you want to be around for the long haul, if your business is only short term, you know, for the next 5-10 years, then you might be okay. But otherwise, you want to look at really creating that hub that you own, that corner of the website.
Good point. Good to know. I definitely want to be on the long haul into that. And also, like you said, these sites, they change or whatever. And you need, even though I have an older WordPress site, I just need a newer WordPress site because those sliders, that's what they're called. Yeah. Slider images. That was a big deal.
The content's all there.
Yeah. The content's there, and you're going to be able to migrate it and change it over, whatever, into a more fresher format. But you wouldn't necessarily be able to do that, you know, with a Wix or something else, where you're just kind of stuck with what you got. Mm-hmm. And so we have that flexibility here. So
yeah.
I'm excited about that. Well, we got a few more minutes here. We got about just under 3 minutes. So before we get too much time, kind of tell our listeners how they can contact you.
So I'm on the web, so you can find me on my website. The easiest way to get there is convertible.cc. So convertible.cc. That'll take you to my website. The full domain address is convertible-communications.com if you want to type all of that out, but I'll try and make it easy for you. And yes, I drive a convertible, and it's been gorgeous weather in Texas this weekend, so the top has been down. And I am on Facebook. My name is Andra Dunn. You can Google me and find me there. You can add me as a friend, but I'm a little on the crazy side, so I like to have fun, but so you can follow all my adventures there. I have a business page, also Convertible Communications. I'm on LinkedIn. I'm on Instagram. So, you know, Google me and you'll probably find me and connect with me, which, you know, this is what I tell people. I tell people two things. Like, I want to be found. So Google me and find me. I'm going to be where you are. Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, some platforms I'm more active than others. But if you ping me, I'll respond. And it's kind of like money. Like, I like to get, I like money. I like people to be able to give me money. So I have PayPal, I have Cash App, I have, yeah, I have it all. So how do you want to pay me? Like, what's easiest for you? And I'm there, right? So what forum are you on? How do you like to interact with people? If you want to shoot me an email, Andra, A-N-D-R-A, at convertible.cc is my email address. So whatever is easy, whichever is the easiest way for you to reach out.
Perfect, perfect. Well, thanks for coming on for the show to the show today, man. It was really, you know, went by really fast, you know, and there's some other things, other tricks up her sleeve, or not really, but other services to provide as the site continues to grow. And then we'll definitely get you back up here in a few months to kind of give an update. Okay, we did this. We have a new site. It was parked here. This new site's doing this. We went back to your YouTube channel. It's now doing this and this and this. We shot some new videos. We deployed them here. And now we can go back and look at the search, the tools, and see the fruits of the labor and see if it is, you know, we see a jump in content and people are parked when they see the video and they actually look at it and stuff like that. So that's some exciting times ahead. I'm just interested to do it, of course, I guess for the income, but it'll be fun. You know, it'll be a fun exercise to see, you know, as this forms out, how it all the pieces fit together. The Facebook fits with the website, with the, you know, even the Instagram and the YouTube channel and et cetera. So all the pieces fit together, but you're right. It's good to have that hub, and it's, you can't replace it. You just can't have Facebook or even Google as a hub. It's just not going to work. All right, then. So that's it. That's a wrap for today. So thanks for listening to the Concierge Coaches Show on LA Talk Radio. And we'll be back next week with another exciting show. And feel free to see us on The Concierge Coaches on LinkedIn, on Instagram, and The Concierge Coaches Show on Facebook. I can be reached at conciergecoach.net. Justin can be reached at nimmergood.com. So until then, have a blessed week. And we'll see everybody here next week on The Concierge Coaches Show on LA Talk Radio. Take care, everybody.
You're listening to the Concierge Coaches Show with Bruce Cameron and Justin Nimmergood, only on LA Talk Radio.